Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Yevamos Kuf Hei. We're actually holding 15 lines from the top of the Amud. So yesterday we had a halacha that was sent to Shmuel's father. We had several ways of explaining the halacha. Today we have another version of the entire story. It pertains to another aspect of Hilchos Chalitza altogether. V'ikud d'amri, says the Gemara on the 15th line from the top. V'ikud d'amri, some have a different version. And they say, Hachi Shochule. When they sent Shmuel's father a halacha, it was as follows. Pertaining to a situation where Yevama Shirakika, Yevama got up and only did Rikika, she spat. Typically, first, you remove the shoe, you do the actual chalitza, and then comes the rikika. No, she did it in the reverse. She started with rikika. What is the halacha? Tachlitz. She can proceed to the chalitza, even though it's being done in the reverse. Ve'ena tzricha laruk pa'macheres. Without any need to repeat. She doesn't have to spit again after the chalitza. So even though it was rikika and then chalitza, we leave it as is. Kiahi, as we find in the following story. Kiahi de Asya, the Kamed de Rabbi Ami. There was this Isha, Yevamo, who approaches Rabbi Ami. Havi Yosef, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamul Kamed. Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of him. And he watched as Rabbi Ami presided over a chalitza ceremony. Now, what did she do? First, Rakaka, Mikamei de Sachlitz. Before she did chalitza, she did Rakika. Amalei Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami turns to Rabbi Abba. Let her go. Chalitzla. Vishari la tigra. Allow her to finish the chalitza. Pull off the shoe. And just let her go. Tigra literally means a rib, a fight, a litigation. Meaning, just let her out of the bezin. Finish it up. Amalei Rabbi Abba. So he asks Rabbi Ami, what's going on? Vabainan meirak. What do you mean? What happened to spitting? He responds, Ha rakakala, what do you mean? She already spat. Even though it was out of order, but she was yaitz. Viseiruk, let her spit again after the chalitza properly, in order. Umabakachan, what's there to lose? What's the downside? Just have her do it again. He responds, there is what to lose. It can create confusion and misunderstanding. Nafik mnei churba. It can lead to churba, to destruction, to misunderstanding. What do you mean? If you oblige her to re-spit again, Amri, people will conclude, apparently Rikika Kamaisa, that first Rikika that she did before the Chalitza, is not worth anything. So next time, when Isha gets up and does Rikika, they'll say, nothing doing, it's worthless. Now reality, it's not so. Rikika on its own has to be reckoned with. When you do it again after the Chalitza, people will conclude from this that the first Rakika done out of order is worthless, null and void, has no value. And in the future, down the road, when Aisha gets up and does Rakika as the first element of her Chalitza, people won't give it any value, any credence, and they'll say, you can still do Yibam, nothing has happened, and of course that's a big mistake. So don't do Rakika again. Stick with the first Rakika, even though it was done before Chalitza. This way people will know for sure that a rikika done anywhere in the sequence has effect. Asks the Gemara, but it's out of order. And the pasuk says, kacha ya'asal ish, kacha. This order, this sequence is absolute. V'ba'inan kisidron. It needs to be in this order. Kisidron, like mi'akva, chachamim had a kabbalah that, in this case, this sequence does not hold back the process. It is not mi'akiv. Who saw the choye kamatchile? Sir Be'abi figured that, Rabbi Ami is just pushing him away. It's still questionable. How do you know that Kisidron is not mi'akiv? He wasn't really convinced. Until Nofaki went out, duck. He investigated, he learned Va'ashkach, and he found a brice that supports this concept. The Sanya, Ben Shehikdim, Chalitza l'Rikika, whether Chalitza came before Rikika as it is meant to come, Be'en Shehikdim, Rikika l'Chalitza, or in the reverse, Rikika was number one, and then Chalitza, Masha Asa Asoy, done is done. Levi, Nafak l'kiryasa. Levi went out to the villages. He went to take a Torah, to be a Mekariv, to share his Torah with others. Bo'omineh. They approached him with the following question. Actually, three shaylas. Number one, Gidemes, an isha, a yevamo, who has no hands. Ma'osha tachlitz, can she do chalitza with her mouth? Yevamo shiraka kodam mo. Number two, a yevamo, who spits, instead of saliva, she spits dam. Does that work? Number three, how do we understand the pasuk? But the Malach tells Daniel, I'll tell you what's going on in Shemayim, aval agad l'chos ha-roshim b'ksav emes. I'll tell you the words that were recorded in truth. Mechlal di'ikil k'sav she'ini emes? Do you mean to say there are some writings in Shemayim that's not truthful, that's not absolute? Well, what do you mean to say when he says k'sav emes? Levi, upon hearing these three shailas, he was stumped. He didn't have what to respond. So what does a person do when he has a shayla? He goes to the Beis HaMedrash. Ozal shol be medrasha. He asked the Chachamim Beis HaMedrash. Amalei, they responded to all three things. First question. A yivamo who lo yaleinu doesn't have hands. That's okay. Miksiv v'cholzo beyad. Does the pasuk then say she has to remove that shoe with her hands? Anyway, she chooses to remove that shoe. Is okay? Even with her teeth? Spitting dam. Well, umiksa v'yarka reik. Does the pasuk say she has to spit dafka reik? Which means that it has to be pure reik and nothing else included. Rashi says, we assume that if she's spitting, even if it's mostly dam, but there's some sachtsuchi reik, Rashi says, some elements, some traces of saliva, and that's okay, that's enough. The third question, aval agad lecha haroshem b'ksav emes. And your question was, v'chiyesh k'sav she'ini emes, is there some writings in Shemayim that are not emes, that are not truth and absolute? He didn't mean to say that it was false. It means to say, at times Hashem will make a gzera and retract that gzera, and be mevatel the gzera. If Klal Yisrael daven and do teshuva, like Kasha, the answer is, kan v'gzar din she'eshim o'yishavua. Sometimes a verdict in Shemayim is absolute. That's when it comes with an oath, with a promise. That's called Ksav Emes. Rashi says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu ma'amsoi u'mekaymoi ve'ein ha'yichoyzer mavatloi, something which Hashem just keeps in place. That's when it has a shvua. Kan begzardin she'ini mo'y shvua. As opposed to, sometimes you have a gzardin which was not accompanied by a shvua. And that's still hovering, it's still pending. And is given to nullification. If Klal Yisrael are worthy of being mevatel the gzera, where do we find a gzardin with a shivua? Keter of Shmo Bar Ami, the Omer of Shmo Bar Ami, Omer B'Yenison. Menayin gzardin she'ishim o'yishvua she'enim eskare. How do we know that a gzardin that's accompanied by a shivua doesn't get nullified? Shenemar. Lachin ishbat yilbeis Eli. This was when the children of Eli were unaccommodating to the women who brought the korbanos. Hashem was unhappy and he applied a gzar din. They should die young. And it was accompanied with a shvuah. L'chein nishbati l'beis eli. Im yiskaper oven beis eli b'zevach b'mincha ad oilam. This gzera cannot be nullified even through korbanos. It is ad oilam. Why is it ad oilam? Because l'chein nishbati. A gzar din that comes together with a shvuah is something permanent ad oilam. Amar Rabba, but there's still a way out. Even though it says, Im yiskaper zevach b'mincha ad oilam, there's a way around it. Amar Rabba, b'zevach b'mincha ein yiskaper. Karbonis cannot undo that gzira. Aval mischaperu b'divrei Torah, but Torah is absolutely all-powerful. By immersion in Torah, even a descendant of the Eli family can survive and can live a long, healthy life. Abaye Omar, so this is who? Rabba. Torah can counter the gzera. Abaye Omar, Abaye says a little differently. B'zevach b'mincha in meskaper. Karbonis cannot address this avera. Avo meskaperu b'gmilas chasodim. Not only can Torah soften the impact and temper the gzera, but even chesed as well. In fact, they had their own personal experiences to prove it. Rabba v'Abaye, mid the base Eli ka'asu, both came from base Eli. Rabba the Asak v'Torah, chaya arbon shenin, Rabba who immersed in Torah, lived 40 years. Could you imagine? How many times throughout Shas do we have Rabba? It was all within 40 years. In 40 years, look what he did. So the schus of Torah added longevity to his life. Abaye, on the other hand, lived longer. Abaye the Asak v'Torah ubig milus chasadim. He was immersed in Torah and exceptionally involved in chesed. Of course, Rabba did chesed too, but Abaye put exceptional emphasis on both Torah and chesed. Chaya shitin shnin. He was zeichet to live 60 years. You know, there's a story, a famous story with Rav Chaim Kreisworth, the Rav of Antwerp. Zatzal. So, in his youth, he was very ill. And he came to the stipler, Rav Chaim Kanevsky's father, for a bracha. And the way the story goes is that he told him, look, take a look at the brisa that we say every morning, Elu dvarim she'en lahem shir. So at the end you have Bikur Cholim, Achnosas Kala, Ulevaya Sameis. He says Achnosas Kala goes right in the middle between Bikur Cholim on one side and Halevaya Sameis on the other. And a person, Oileinu, is in a state of Bikur Cholim, he's unwell. To avert Ulevaya Sameis, to avert danger, to attain recovery, the schus is get involved in Achnosas Kala. And in fact, Chaim Kreisworth took a sort of shift. He got very interested in Nachos Kala, and he married off many, many Yosemites and destitute Kalis. In fact, there's a story that somebody sees him walking through the diamond exchange in Antwerp. So it's Erev Yom Kippur. He says, well, what's the Rav doing here? What's the Kohen doing in the Beis HaKvaris? Erev Yom Kippur, the Rav buying it. He says, yeah, I'm going to get a diamond ring for a Kala. So in any case, he recovered, and he lived a long and productive life. I was at his Levayus, ripe old age. Not only the Torah, but the Torah with the Chesed gave him Arichas Yamim. Tanur Rabbanu, we have another story on the same topic. Bishpocha achas hoysha b'Yerushalayim. There was a family in Yerushalayim, shoyu meisim keben shmoina esrei shana, whose male members would pass away 18 or younger. Bo v'hoidiu es Rabban Yochanan and Zakkai. They came to Rabbi Yochanan for an etza. What should we do? Amar lahem, so he speculates. He says, Shema mishpachas Eli atem. Tell me, perhaps are you from the mishpacha of Eli, who has this gzera cast upon them? Shema v'chal marbis beischa yamusu anoshim. I'm going to die young. So what should you do? L'chu v'isku b'torah v'tichyu. Go immerse yourself in Torah, and Torah will undo the gzera, you'll have a richos yamin. Holchu, va'asku b'torah v'choyu. In fact, they listened to his advice, they evolved themselves in Torah, they built kolelim and yeshivas, v'choyu, and they lived a long life. V'yikoyun oisa mishpachas Yochanan al shmoy. And they changed the family name to Yochanan, the name of, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because of his chus, they had a richos yamin. Amar Shmuel bar Unya, Amar Rav, minayin ligzar din shal tzibur she'en nechtam. How do we know that the verdict issued against a tzibur never gets sealed? It can always be undone. It's never, you know, the final word. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Ein nechtam? It never gets sealed. V'chsev. The pasuk says by regarding the chet of the eagle, ki im tichvasi ba neser v'tir b'loch b'irus. Even if you use all the cleansing agents, nothing will help. Nechtam avaynech lefana, your oven of the eagle created this stain, this absolute stain. Clearly, the gzardin of a tzibur stands. Ella, rather, like this. Minayin shafilo nechta miskareya. Of course it got sealed. Of course it created a stain, which is permanent. But how do we know that even after sealing, it can be miskareya? We can undo it. We can tear up the gzera. Shenamar mika shemalikein. Bechol kareinu eilav. Look, what a closeness between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, whenever we turn to Him. Even after the Gzardin, even after the Chasima, we can just undo things. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? There's always a way out. V'ksiv, Dirshu Hashem v'motzai. Seek Hashem when He is close, when He is available, when He's accessible. Apparently, it's not always. Kasha, the answer is it depends who's beseeching Hashem. Habi yachad, yeah, an individual on his own. He doesn't always have direct access. Habit tzibur, but tzibur. Tzibur's got to live on. We are eternity. Hashem promised us. We are one with Hashem. Right? So a tzibur has special power. And can always turn to Hashem and undo a gzeirah. Asks the Gemara, yachad emas. What about a yachad? When does he have access? Dirshu Hashem bihimatzai. In certain opportune times, when is that? Amar of Nachman, Amar of Ravua, Elu Asura Yamim. Referring to the 10 days, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, total of 10 days, including Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the Meiri says the reason is because the entire tzibur is being mischazak and being misoirer, so on account of that, even a yachad, a special schus, to turn to Hashem, Hashem is accessible to him. So bottom line is, a yachid, special times only. A tzibur, anytime. But if it has a shvua affixed to it, then it's really serious. And only certain special methods, like immersion in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, can rectify that situation. Shochulei lavo de Shmuel. Once again, they sent a halacha to Shmuel. Yeruvama shiroke kodam. Yeruvama who spits dam. Tachlitz. She can no longer do yivam. The chalitza has already begun. She spat dam, not roik. So how does this work? The answer is lefishi efshar ladam b'loy tzachtzuchei roik, because it's impossible that within the dam there aren't any remnants, any some traces of roik, and therefore it counts as a rikika for chalitza. Meisvei, here comes a kasha. The Braisa is speaking about a zav. We know that certain liquids in the zav are metame, they're considered avatuma. Whether it's the saliva, whether it's the ziva, the keri, etc. What about his dam? That's not matame. Yochel yehi dam ha'yesim piv. Suppose the zav is experiencing dam trickling out of his mouth. Umpia amma, or from the evra zachar. Tame, perhaps that has a din of ava tuma. No, tamad loyma zoivai tame. Only the zoiv. Vein dam ha'yesim piv. Umpia amma tame, as opposed to dam. Ella, rather, it's tar. What do you mean? I just thought... You told me that even dam emanating from one's mouth carries with it traces of roik. Like, Hasha, the answer is, all depends on the situation. Kabamit setzes. When the yivama is sort of squeezing out the dam, Rashi says, from between our teeth, so then inevitably there's going to be some roik accompanying that dam. So if it's coming out with effort, yes. Kamashoisis, but the mission of the zav is speaking was just trickling out on its own, and it isn't necessarily bringing along any traces of saliva. Chirush shel nechlas, Mishnah says, if the yavam was a katan involved in chalitza, well, it's not really kosher, but he can no longer get involved in yibum. We treat it as though the chalitza has already begun. Amar vidom arav, yeah, that's the shita of Rav Meir, Zudiv Rav Meir, who considers the katan's maisa to have value. You see, back on the Tzadik Vav, we spoke about the masa yibum of a katan, according to all shittas, even the rabbanon, it has a din of imamar. It sort of gets the process going. It appears like a masa kinyan. Same thing with his mamar. But regarding chalitza, which is a disconnector, a disengager, Chachamim said the chalitza of a katan is worthless. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, it has some value, and we treat it like as though a gadol did something, and a yibum is no longer an option. So the Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir. Ava chachamim ayrim ein chalitza katan tum klum. According to them, chalitza done by a katan doesn't work. Meaning, according to all shitas, when a Torah, it says layachpo is a ish, right? It's a kochi asa laish. The Torah repeatedly mentions ish in terms of the yavam's involvement. It has to be a gadol. So when a Torah doesn't work, the question is whether a yavam with a katan has some value mid the rabbanim. Rabbi Meir says yes, Chachamim say no. Ketana Shechotz. What about the Yevama who is a Ketana and involved in Chalitza? Mishnah says it doesn't work. Who's speaking here? Says the Gemara once again, Amar Vida Marav, Zu Divi Rav Meir. This is Rabbi Meir speaking. The Amar Ish Kosev Parsha. We find the Loshen Ish in the Parsha of Chalitza needs to be a Gadol. The same thing with the Isha. With the Yivama. Omak Shinon Isha Le'ish. We connect the two. According to Rabbi Meir. A Yivama who's a Gdoila can do Chalitza, otherwise not. Aval Chachamim. I remember they disagree. They say Ish Ksiba Parsha. True. Regarding the Yavama, it needs to be an Ish. But the Isha, the Yivama can be Bein Gdoila, Bein Tana, whether an adult or a minor. Man Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim? Let's give a name to it. Rabbi Yosi. It's actually Shitas Rabbi Yosi, as we will see in the following story. The Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, these two sons of Rabbi, Bar Rabbi, Havu Yasfi, they were sitting and talking and learning, Pasach al Menayu. So one of these two started the conversation on the topic of Tefillah. Va'amar, he said, Hames, Balal, when one davens to Hashem, Sorech Shayitain Ein of Lamata, he's meant to have his eyes facing downward, focusing on the floor, focusing on the Makum of Shechina, Shenamar Vahayu, Einai Velibi Shem Kalayamim as Hashem. Describes Kavayachal Hashem looking down. So the point is, we look down in humility, in submission to Hashem. That's the way to daven. V'chad Amar, the other one maintains the other way around. Elevate, fly high, be inspired. Ein of Lamala, have your eyes facing upward. Rise to the heights of upwards of Shemayim. Shenamar Niso Levavenu El Kapayim, will lift our hearts together with our hands upwards. So one said down, one said up. As they were talking, also Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, who was a colleague of theirs, he arrives. Ligabai, he comes and he arrives. Amar Lahu, and he asks them, "B'mayaskisu, what are you involved with? What's the topic of discussion?" Amar Lahu, tefillah. We're talking about tefillah. Do you look upwards? Do you look downwards? Amar Lahu, he tells them, both are correct. In fact, Kach Amar Abba. I'll tell you what my own father, Rabbi Yosi, used to say. Hames Balal, when one davens, Sorach Shiitin, Einav Lamata, Veliba Lamala, his eyes downwards, and his heart upward. Shekdei Sheyeskaimu, Shtei Mikrois Halalu, in fulfillment of both psukim. On the one hand, you're looking down, you're submissive, you're humble, you're batal to Hashem, but that brings you to rise to the greatest heights, to soar to Shemayim. So you have both aspects in unison. As they were talking, also Rabbi Lemasifta, Rabbi the Magid Shia, the Rosh Hashiva, he comes and he joins them to give his shir in Udavu Kli. So Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon, who are light, Yesivu B'duchtai, they quickly found their spaces, found their places in the shir. Rabbi Shmuel B'yesi, on the other hand, Agav Yukriya, due to his heaviness, Havu Mavsa Basel, he was sort of trotting, taking his time till he would get to his seat. Omer le Abdon. Abdon was a Talmud of Rebbe. He was sort of the manager there. Teisha says his name was really Abba Yudin, but Abdon was short for Abba Yudin. And he wasn't happy with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, sort of walking, weaving his way through the crowds. And he said, who's this fellow who's walking above the heads of the Am Kaddish, or the Talmidim? It looks like you're walking over their heads. You're like, you know, you're everyone's sitting and you're walking above them. It's disrespectful. So he criticized him in public. He insulted him in public. Amalei, so he responds, who am I? I'm just a simple man of Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. I came to learn Torah. Shabbosi lulma Torah mim Rabbi. What do you want from me? Amalei, Abdon responded, a second insult. V'chi ata hogan lulma Torah mim Rabbi? Are you worthy of coming to learn Torah from Rabbi? Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel responds in defense. He says, "V'chi Moshe ha'yahagan l'matoyrim piakvura. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Was he worthy of learning Torah from Hashem? You know, a Talmud is a Talmud. Doesn't mean I'm worthy." Amalei, so Abdon, third time insults him. "V'chi Moshe ato. Well, you comparing yourself to Moshe?" Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel in defense responds, "V'chi Rabbeinu chelekimu. And is your Rabbi compared to Hashem?" And that was the end of that exchange. Amar Rav Yosef. Shakli Rebbe. Rebbe received limitrasve. He received retribution. He got an oynish. In fact, as he was sitting there and didn't come to Shmuel Rabbi Yosi's defense, so he got punished on the spot. In the manner in which Rabbi Shmuel responded, the Ka'amalei Rabach, because Rabbi Shmuel says, "Is your Rebbe Elikim?" V'loi Rebbe, instead of saying, "Is my Rebbe Elikim?" So he sort of was disengaging from Rebbe. He wasn't giving him proper respect. Your Rebbe is Elikim. He should have said my Rebbe, because he was really a Talmud himself. So that was the Oynish to Rebbe for not mixing it. Adahachi, as this was going on, Asya Yevam al Kameh. Yevam comes to Kameh the Rebbe to Rebbe for Chalitza. Amar le Rebbe la Abdon. Rebbe turns to Abdon. Poi, go out, but can investigate the matter, have a woman check around, see if she's a gdoila, if she has these days saris. Labasa the Nafak, after Abdon leaves the yeshiva, to go take care of this thing. Amar le, so Amar le Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel turns to Rebbe, there's no need to examine her. Kachamar Abba, I have a halacha. For my father, Rabbi Yossi, who was a recognized authority, Ish Kasaba Parsha. Sure. The Parsha Chalitza mentions Ish. He has to be a gadol. Aval Isha, but the Isha can be Bein Gdoila, Bein Ktana, whether an adult or a Ktana. You don't need to find out whether or not she's a Gdoila. Unnecessary. Omer Leh, so Rebbe turned to Abdon, calls him back, get back, talk, come back. Leitzricha, no need for your services. Kfar Herazak and the elder, Rabbi Yossi, had already ruled on this matter. It's okay. Kamavsa Abdon Ba'asi. So now Abdon was making his way back into the group and sort of walking over the heads of the Talmidim. The same thing that Rabbi Shmuel did. Now he was doing it himself. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel turns to him. And he had a word for him. Mishat Tzorach Le'am Kaddish. Myself, whose services are needed for the Am Kaddish. My halacha. The halacha that I quoted my father, that served the Am Kaddish, that served to clarify the matter, Yifsal Rosh Am Kaddish. He has a right to do that. Oh, but Misha ain't loy tzorach le Am Kaddish, but you, whose service is not really needed for the Am Kaddish. Heich Yifsal Rosh Am Kaddish. What are you doing walking over everybody? So Abdon got the message. Amar le Rebbe la Abdon. Rebbe turned to Abdon. He said, Kum beduchta. He's right. Freeze. Stay right there. Tana, in fact, we learned in a Braisa said that Abdon suffered greatly on account of these insults that he hurled at Rabbi Shmuel. But he says, sure, at that very moment, Nitztareya Abdon experienced Taras. Rashi says, Taras is the Einish for Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, or insulting, or being disrespectful to Talmud Chacham, it's all considered evil speech, and he got Taras. And his own two children drowned, also a neck, related type of thing, speech related. And his two daughter-in-laws, who were still ketanes and married to his two other sons, I presume, they just walked off. So he lost his entire family. Omar of Nachmar Yitzchak, as terrible as it was, as difficult as suffering he was experiencing, but Burich Rachmana Baruch Hashem, the Kasfei, who embarrassed La Abdon by Amma, who had Abdon experience this misfortune and embarrassment in this world rather than Olam Haba. Whatever it is, it's worth it. Amr Ba'ami, Midvarav Shal Baribi, the fact that Baribi is a Lashon of the Great One, Rabbi Yossi, the fact that he said that Iktana Kadu Chalitza, we will learn as follows. What's the minimum age? Nilmoid. Ketana chiletzes with poitis. As long as the ketana is at the point of poitis. This is a Gemara in Gittin. It speaks about how young a katan has to be, how old he has to be to engage in commerce. 6 or 7, that's the minimum age where he has some sort of das. Rav Amar, no. Acha takel, oinus and dar. He needs to be older than that until she reaches the point where she can make a neder, which is a year before her bas mitzvah. That degree of maturity is required even for the Ketana to do chalitza. But the final halacha is, we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, Asher Tovish Deisaris, we follow Rabbi Mereshita. She needs to be a gdoila, proper gdoila, which Deisaris, to be involved in chalitza. Chotzu b'shnayim. The mission says that even chalitza done with two dayanim is a proper chalitza. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menyumi, Rav Nachman. So this halacha was presented by two chachamim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yechonah Sandor. And he had a story to back it up with the Beis Asurim, with Rabbi Kiva, as we're going to see in a minute. So Rabbi Nachman says, no, ein halacha kaysa azug, we don't follow this pair of chachamim, we need three dayanim. We follow the Tanakhama, three dayanim. Asks the Gemara, didn't Rabbi Nachman already tell us this? V'amar Rabbi Nachman chadazim, they already told us once before, in the first Mishnah. Beginning of the parak, mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha. The Gemara there says, on Amud Beis, that the halacha is you need to have three people. Va'amar Nachman Chada Zimna, the Amar Beis or Nimer Nachman, Chalitza B'Shloisha needs to be three. Why do you need that repetition? Tzrichi both are needed. Iyak Itmar Hakamaisa. If only from that first Rav Nachman, that Chalitza is meant to be with three. Hava Amina, you know, I would say Ha Amina L'Chatchila. Chatchila should have three. Aval the Eved, but let's say it's been done. I feel a tray, even two would be okay. Kamashmon, that's why you need a second statement. Ein Halacha Ka'isa Azug. We don't hold like this, Pierre. In this Mishnah, we're speaking after the fact. It was done. Is it kosher or pasul? They say kosher, even with two. And he comes and says, no, we don't follow that shita. And here we're speaking in Medievet. So we see that it's absolute, it's binding. That's why you need a second statement. V'yashminin and Allah is azug. If only from that second statement, I would say, yeah, we don't follow that zug. Elokat Tanakama, we follow Tanakama, who requires three, but, you know, hanamil Avamina di Evet. I would say even three is not really preferred. Three, okay, if you did it, it works. Avalachatchila, but preferably liboy chamisha. Perhaps you need five, like Rabbi Yehuda Shita back in Avkafal. Tzricha, that's why he needed to say both things. He needed to say that we follow that first Mishnah, three. Lachatchila, three is okay. And then he had to say again that in the next Mishnah, we don't follow the Shita, which was Mater, with two, even after the fact, even B'di'evet. So basically, it's three. Three is absolute. L'chatchila three, and B'di'evet three. Masa Shechotzu, we have the story where the Yavam and Yavama did the Chalitza, and they presented the question to Rabbi Kiva, and he said it was okay. Mishnah says, they did Chalitza amongst themselves. Be'noi le'be'no, mi'yadana. Who's to know that it happened? You have to have some sort of testimony about the chalitza. In fact, the chalitza took place in prison, but the edim were peering in from the outside, and they testified. The question is, exactly how did this happen? Was the chalitza done between the yavam and the yavama outside of the prison? And the story, the shaila, whether this works, because there were no three dayanim, was presented to Rabbi Kiva in prison, when he was in prison by the Romans. So the chalitza was outside, the question was inside. Idilma, or perhaps, Masa Shechotzu Beinoi Lebeino Beis HaSurin. The chalitza took place in jail as well. And the story, the shaila was presented to Rav Kiva in jail as well. So both were inside. Amar Rav Yidam Rav. Second version is the correct one. Beis HaSurin Haya Masa. Ula Beis HaSurin Ba Masa. The chalitza was in prison and presented to Rav Kiva in prison as well. Tosis brings in, the Tosis Yishalom brings a more enhanced version of the story. How did they ask the shaila to Rabbi Kiva? This was the time of Gzeira. They weren't meant to be involved in Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandor took a bunch of sewing wares and tools and needles and stuff, and he used advertising. Who would like some machtim, some tzinoirin? And he threw in the question, what about a chalitza done in private? And Rabbi Kiva, the Tais Yishonim adds that he had actually shoes on his shoulders. He was carrying shoes and he was yelling out, who would like shoes? Who would like shoes? What about a private chalitza? Does that work? And Rabbi Kiva peers out the window and he says, yeah, yesh lecha kosher, yesh lecha kosher. And he used a cryptic response to indicate that in fact the chalitza done in this manner works. Okay, so we learned about rekika, even out of order, even rekika, and then chalitza works. We had the three shailas presented to Levi when he went out to the Kriyasa, to the villages. An Isha who has no hands, yes, she can actually use her teeth because the Torah does not specify hands. Yivama Shirokika Dam, and the Gemara concludes it means Mitzetzes, when she's sort of squeezing the dam out of her mouth. We're assured that it will come along with some traces of Roik and it's considered a Rekika for Chalitza. A Gzardin in Shemaim, only if it has a Shvuah, is it considered emes, which means it's absolute, and not any chayzer, is not return on that. However, in the case of Eli, we know that Torah and Chesed can actually be mechaper, as we find in the story of Abaye and Rabba, who involved in Torah and Chesed, and they lived longer lives. In the story of Yerushalayim, who was experiencing trouble, premature death, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai advised him to involve himself in Torah, came Chayenu v'Rechimenu, and they lived and they renamed the family, Yochanan. Even a Yochanan has the ability to beseech Hashem even after a Gzeira, especially during the time of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Mishnah speaks about a man who was a cheresh or a katan. So the chalitza isn't really halachically valid min haTorah, but the Rabbanon has effect. Yibum is no longer an option. That's Rav Meir Shita. When the Mishnah says a ktana can't do chalitza as well, that's Rav Meir as well. And that's the halacha l'maisa. In fact, we have the whole story back and forth with Rabbi Yesi, who disagreed. He said even a ktana can do chalitza. We have the whole story with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi, who was treated disrespectfully by Avdon, who was Rebbe's gabbai, who suffered greatly on account of that disrespect. But the Gemara says it was to his benefit, Baruch Hashem, that he suffered in this world, which assured him a beautiful, sweet Olam Haba. Alach l'maisa, we hold that chalitza needs to be done with three dayanim. Dayanim meaning experts in the proceedings. And then we have the story of Rabbi Kiva, where they had to present him with a shayla in a cryptic manner, and he responded in kind that chalitza done even in private works, but alach l'maisa, we hold the chalitza requires three. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.